Well, first things first, we just wrapped up our Edge Games, which is our middle school. It's kind of like the Olympics, only bigger. It's our middle school thing, and it is a clash of countries. And from what I understand, Team Aruba emerged victorious. Do we have any Team Aruba members here today? Yeah? No Aruba? They're still out celebrating. All right. It is a great day to be together for Children's Ministry Weekend. I am thrilled that you're here. Incidentally, I heard from Pastor Will Bursch that during our Edge Games, and because of our Edge Games, we had four students indicate that they would love to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's incredibly cool. Yeah, that's the only eternal thing that comes out of all of that. And it's great. I'm glad they had an amazing time, and they did. But what comes out of it is a knowledge of Jesus, and that's incredible. So thanks for those of you who were involved. I know many of you were. Many of you helped out and did stuff behind the scenes to make it such a great experience, and I'm glad that you did. Thanks for doing that. I got to give you an update, too, on what happened last weekend at Hudson. I was able to tell most of you because you were able to see some of it on the screen, but Pastor Joe had decided several months ago that he would like to have what they called a spontaneous baptism. So instead of our typical have a class and write out your faith story and then read it either on video or in our case up in front of the congregation, we would just say, just come. Just come and identify with Christ. And I got to hear Joe, we talked as a staff, all together as an entire staff team during the week after last Sunday, and he said he was scared to death that nobody was going to come. He said he gave the word, he put it out there, and he just said, okay, come. And he was afraid, he said, I was afraid nobody. He said, when I saw that first person begin to move on Saturday night, he said, I just felt this incredible sense of relief. And by the time it was over, 451 people had been baptized. Isn't that remarkable? That is truly, truly remarkable. And praise to God for that movement. I ran into a couple staff members in that same discussion, and they couldn't stop smiling after being involved. Louisa, who generally helps in student ministries, she said, Mark, I told myself, I'm not going to cry. I will not cry. I'm going to do my job. Her job was to, as people were coming out of the sanctuary and telling, here's why I want to get baptized. She said, second woman told me why she wanted to get baptized. I started crying like a baby. And she told a story about two women who had been sitting together, and they were crying in the pews. And when they turned to each other and said, why are you crying? And the one said, my husband's out of town, and I want to get baptized, but I don't want to get baptized with him out of town. And the other one said, she said, why are you crying? And she said, I'm scared to go, but I really want to go. And so she said, okay, let's go together. And she grabbed her hand, and they both got up and went. And on the way, she texted her husband, said, I want to get baptized, but you're not here. He said, how dare you put me in front of God? And isn't that a great, by the way, husbands, great response. Yeah, write that one down or something if you ever get in that situation. That's a terrific response. But just story after story. There was one woman who was watching on live stream and realized what was happening and got in her car and drove to the campus and got baptized. That was so, I mean, just amazing, amazing. So your question for me should be, when are we doing it? That's right. I can't tell you. It's spontaneous. So no, but we are gonna have our week, and it will be glorious. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll get you details on that day. Thanks for celebrating. Thank you for continuing to pray. I think it's just another wonderful chapter in how God transforms us as people and as the church. So it's a wonderful time to be part of what God's doing. And then we have this incredible weekend. Just a great, great time to celebrate our kids and what God does in the lives of our kids and in our lives when we are involved in our kids' ministry. So I want to say to Nicole and to Melanie, I'm so thankful for what you do and your contribution to our team. A lot of thankless hours, but you guys do an amazing work, and especially getting today ready for us. First hour was just wonderful, and you guys are going to experience the same thing. So thanks, and also let me take just a second, because there are a lot of you that give your time to children's ministry, and I just want to take just a minute, and I know you don't do it for acknowledgement, but let me just take a minute and have you stand, would you? If you're part of our student ministry team in any way, our children's ministry team in any way, go ahead and stand up and let us just take a minute and thank you for doing that. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. You guys are a real, real blessing to us. And next year at this time, hardly anyone will be seated because you'll all be part of the children's. That's how Nicole wants it, I know. But it really is. I think you know if you've been at Christ Community Chapel for any period of time, we really are. In fact, I've been part of this place long enough, and I got to teach so many membership classes for so many years that I felt like the first couple years I was trying to make it, you know, wow, let's make the church really attractive to people, you know, let's talk about how cool it is and all that, and I thought, what in the world am I doing? First of all, God doesn't need me to get people in his church because his salvation is going to draw people. Secondly, my job's to be honest with y'all, not that it's not a cool church, but one of the things I want you to understand is we're serious about trying to know Jesus personally, know the real Jesus who is God's Son and resurrected, mind-blowing, for you and me. And then I want you to grow in that, really, seriously grow. I want you to become more mature in that faith. I want you to live your life in such a way that 5 years from now, people who know you right now, 5 years from now, they'll say, you're different. It's amazing how different your life is. And I want you to be able to say, it isn't me. And you'll see that in Matthew 18 when we're there today. And then I want you to find a place to serve Jesus. Not because everybody has to do their part. No, because the joy of life is the secret of serving Jesus. It's of finding out that the truth of life is that you're not as great as you think you are, and your God is greater than you think he is, and you have a chance to serve him. Did I really just get an amen? Could you say that again for the video so Pastor Joe can hear that? That was awesome. Thank you. And so I want you to find your place. The image we try to use often is, this is a battleship, not a cruise ship, right? Cruises are great, I hear. But on a cruise ship, it's all about, are you comfortable? Can I do anything for you? I probably will never ask you that. Are you comfortable? Well, if I ask you, I'm going to say, okay, I got to figure out a way to stir you up then. Make you a little bit uncomfortable, get you stretched a little bit in learning more about your faith and in plugging in. And certainly this weekend, children's ministry is a great, great way to stretch your faith. You have, and I'm going to get to this later, you have a, this weekend is also Micah 6:8, and we do a couple of Micah 6:8 weekends every year, but you have opportunities right on here. I'll tell you about them, but you can respond by praying, giving, and or going. And one of the ways you can go and serve is by helping in helping bring our kids up to know Christ. One of my heroes is a guy named Craig Anderson. He's a guy I got to know when I first started to work here at Christ Community Chapel, and he was an executive for Ernst & Young. He's a pretty high up executive. In fact, in the early 90s, when America was still trying to figure out their healthcare, our healthcare situation, President Clinton called Craig Anderson and said, "I need you to come in and talk to me because you're one of the guys who knows the most and understands the healthcare system the best." And so Craig had a one-on-one meeting with President Clinton. And if you ever got to meet Craig Anderson and asked him what some of the greatest experiences of his life have been, he will tell you it's teaching fifth grade kids at Christ Community Chapel. And he would tell his cohorts that. He would say that I love my job and I love what I do, but my highest calling is that every week I get to teach fifth grade kids about Jesus. And I think that's an amazing, amazing perspective. Matthew chapter 18, would you follow me? Starting in verse 1, Jesus says this to his disciples. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, I have to remind myself, as I look at a passage like this, sometimes I get caught up in feeling like when I'm reading the Bible, it's just like a newspaper guy is writing down what Jesus did. But then I reminded myself, these are the stories the disciples told after Jesus' ascension, when they were asked, what was it like to walk with Jesus? What was it like to be one of his followers? And by and through the working of the Holy Spirit, these are the accounts that we have. This, think about it for a minute. This is embarrassing. This is not, if you were writing an autobiography of your life or how great a Christian you are, this is not the kind of story you would tell. Because, and those of you who know this passage a little bit, you know that what's going to happen here is Jesus is going to take who they are and kind of turn it on their head, right? He's going to, well, let's look at it. They say, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So this thing we have inside us that makes us need to know how we stack up against other people. The disciples felt exactly the same thing. And they started the question, how will I know? You know, am I great, Jesus, because I'm following you? Am I great? At some point they would say, I mean, think. They received the power of the Holy Spirit. They began to go and heal people. Did that make them great? And Jesus does a truly remarkable thing. This, and certainly not what any of us would expect him to do. Because I play it over my head and I think, man, this could have been a really interesting dialogue. Jesus could have had a great, said, you know, that's a great, let's break that down. Let's talk about some of the greatest people in the world. He does this. He says, "In calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" And I can only imagine that at that moment the disciples were speechless. Well, it's part of why I think it shows up later in the gospel, because they're going to say, you know what? Jesus had this object lesson this one time where we were having this great discussion. And Jesus brought a little child and said, y'all, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. You got to recognize that even though you grow up to be big and strong, even though you get really clever and good at your jobs, even though you have money that's set aside that you can take care of yourself today and tomorrow and on into the weeks to come, that in truth, when you are in the presence of God, when you come into the kingdom of heaven, and Joe just reminded us recently of this, the truth is it will all get absolutely stripped away. And unless you come humbly and say, Lord Jesus, all I have is you, all I need is you, then Jesus says you can't even enter the kingdom. If you don't come with humility, if you don't take your pride and give it over and say, Lord, I don't know when I started deciding that I was something, but I realize who I really am, and I'm reminded when I even interact with our kids and our kids at church. That's the other reason, by the way, the grand scheme of things, the reason we have weekends like this is not just, hey, you know, hey, I'm getting tired of preaching, let's do something with kids, I don't know. As your pastor and as your friend, we keep kids in front of us to remind us of this truth all the time, that there is a simplicity of faith, and if we make our lives too complex, it's time to come back and remember what Jesus said. And then the second part of this, Jesus says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. And that's just extreme language. That's serious warning to say. And you might say, Mark, I don't think I have ever put a stumbling block in front of a child. But I truly think the application for us today is for any of us who don't take seriously the call to raise our kids, all of our kids, in righteousness, to partner together and to be in community, I think it is the responsibility we have, and we bear the blame for some of the sin that so easily entangles. So this is a really important passage and a really important weekend for all of us. So the application, the call, is really fairly straightforward this week. It's have you begun to understand? Do you live a life that demonstrates the humility that is childlike, the dependence on God that is simple and profound? And if you need a life lesson to help you with that, we have it. And you can come and begin to communicate the gospel to our kids. As I had one friend say to me, if you can't communicate the gospel to kids, you probably haven't figured out the gospel yourself. So we can help you with that. Talk to Nicole and Melanie. I'm sure they'd love to find a couple of minutes to spend time to plug you in to their team. Hey, let me make you aware, as I said, it is Micah 6:8 weekend. And what that means is we get to take all of our giving, and we get to bless a ministry partner with it. And this week we have two. One is a ministry called Cosina, and Cosina is in the it's in the Institution Univers in Wanamint, Haiti. And it's a wonderful place. Oh, you're going to see it. It's an amazing, wonderful oasis of a place where kids come and they are taught the gospel. They are fed. They are challenged. In fact, some of the kids then have come to the States and done advanced studies and gone back and looked for ways that they can help to raise Haiti from its terrible, terrible economic situation. And then the other is that we provide, through our event of Feed My Starving Children, we provide food. Because until we meet the most basic needs of people, you know, we can't share the gospel. We don't get the right to share the gospel with them. So look at these two ministries and learn about them.
Laura is how old?
I've been to Institution Univers, and Michael, I know you guys, your family has too. I can smell, when I watch that video, I can smell what it smells like. I also know it's February because all I see is sunshine when I look at that video, and I'm like, we need that, I'll go there. But I hope we're going to look at opportunities for you to be a part of that. I hope you take advantage of going. Boy, let's today even let's continue to worship as we give. And if you want, really take some time and think through even that card and how you'd like to be involved. Serve us, kids, this morning. Let's receive our morning offering. Father, pray that you would be glorified in our time of giving even, that you would be pleased not with the size of the gift, but with the generosity that's in our hearts. I ask in Christ's name, amen.